LaRue Nally, Mac and Suzanne's niece, was more like a daughter, passed away in a house fire. And the Genesis Church family responded like it has so many times in the past. Lisa and I spent time with the family this week, and I was honored to ask to be a part of the funeral service. We prayed over the service that God worked through me, worked through the Word, and through the words the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. And while preparing for this service, I thought about what the family must be going through, feeling like they were in an avalanche of hopelessness, a darkness that would never, ever give way to the sun. And I started thinking about all the people out there who are in this or have been in this with either little or no hope. I've worked in healthcare over 28 years, one way, shape, or form in a hospital. I've seen so many tragedies. Seen patients receive terrible news in the prime of their lives, and been there when parents and families told their loved ones didn't survive an accident. You can see the plans of their lives falling apart right there, right in front of you, just like a house of cards. Family and people who are like family going right downhill right in front of you. And you can't help them. Their mind passing and the beautiful personality and beautiful person you love is slowly fading away. Addictions that tear our society apart. They damage the physical body, but they can have a worse impact on the soul. Financial problems and divorces. All these circumstances and a lot of other bad things in this world have something in common, a loss of hope. And hope's so important. We were designed with that purpose in mind. And the Scripture makes note of all the hope. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation and constant in prayer. Hold on to hope. Be patient in the bad times and keep praying. Psalm 10:17, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Hope is put in right between faith and love. And I think that's the importance. Paul was talking about the spiritual gifts that you receive in this life, how they all fade and they'll eventually go away, but those three will remain. And with tragedies like these, it's hard to maintain that. And I pray over the message. I had a hard time hearing it this week. I did because I was preparing for the service yesterday, and I was concentrating on it because funeral services aren't for the people that are gone. They're for the people that are still there. They're to offer, try and help with some comfort, some small little smidgen of comfort for someone whose world has just been torn apart. And nothing felt right. I was going from Genesis to Revelation, literally. Reading different things, looking at commentaries. And then all of a sudden, it just hit. And I knew the Holy Spirit had to be going, duh, because it was right there in front of me. The New Testament, who's the hope of this world? Jesus. Where should it come from? Him. One of these four Gospels. Story starts off in John, and it's a lot of verses, and we're not going to go through all of them, but I recommend that if you have time to read this section. Jesus and his disciples, they had become noticed by the Pharisees. This was before the end time where he went to Jerusalem and was crucified. And the Pharisees had started looking for him. So him and his disciples decided to go from Judea, the area where Jerusalem and all was at, and go back to Galilee. And along the way, they had to go through Samaria. And now Samaria is kind of like the bad part of town for that whole area. And they stopped at a well. And it wasn't by accident. There was a woman there, and Jesus said, "Give me a drink." His disciples had went away to buy food, and the Samaritan asked him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." That was an understatement. There was an extreme amount of bad blood between Jews and Samaritans. What had happened, the area they lived in was originally the northern kingdom, northern part of Jerusalem. Israel. It was conquered about 100 years before the southern part. When Assyria conquered it, they took away all the residents. And they brought in people from other parts of the known world, other parts of their empire. These people worshipped other gods. They had other customs. And what made it worse, after the other part of Israel was destroyed and they were carried off to Babylon for 70 years, then they got to come back. These guys did all they could to keep them from resettling. They tried to sabotage every single effort. So they made a lot of, there was a lot of bad blood. There were social customs and legal customs against, first off, a man and a woman who weren't betrothed talking to each other. Then you had someone who was the level of a Jewish rabbi. And he was talking with this woman who was a Samaritan, who was just really kind of the lowest of the low in their eyes. And Jesus talked to her and told her, "If you know the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She didn't understand. She thought, she got interested because she was saying, "Wow, I wouldn't have to go to the well again." And she asked him, how are you going to do that? You don't have anything to dip it out with, and that well is so deep. And are you greater than Jacob, our father, who started this well?" This wasn't by accident. Jesus went. He was looking for this woman. He knew what was in her heart and in her soul. And he knew that she needed more than water for drinking and cooking. And Jesus told her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will never thirst again. Who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I'll give them will never, never be thirsty again." And she wanted some of the water. And then he told her, "Okay, grab your husband, come on." And said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you're right. You've had five. And the man you're currently living with is not your husband." Sometimes we lose our hope from things that are beyond our control. Deaths, layoffs, divorces. Sometimes we lose our hope from choices that we make. That we are responsible for our own decisions. And there are consequences for those. And it can be really uncomfortable when someone points those things out to you. I know before I was saved, I had someone point out a few things in my life, and it was not comfortable whatsoever. And he wasn't being critical of her. He was just trying to help her see, this is where you're at, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And you think about the situation this woman was in. If she had five husbands and was living with a man who wasn't her husband, you could have been killed in this part of the country at this time. She was probably an outcast. No one spoke to her. It was like she was invisible to the world. And how would your hope be with that? This is where I'm at. This is where I will always be at. Almost like a leper. Jesus went out of his way to stop at this well for this one woman. This one woman who'd had five husbands, had a track record like 40 miles of bad road. This one person. And the woman said, "I perceive you are a prophet." And then she started talking about how her ancestors worshipped on the mountain, and Jerusalem is the place where the Jews worship. And Jesus told her, an hour's coming where neither place is going to matter. And that you worship God. God's in spirit, and you worship Him wherever you're at, in spirit and in truth. And now, she tried to change the subject with Jesus, which that doesn't work too well. He eventually is going to get back on where he was, where you're supposed to be at. And I think we're all guilty of that. I have been, where it's gotten a little too real for me and a little too uncomfortable, and I tried to change the subject. And God keeps pulling us back. This woman said to him that, "I know the Messiah is coming, and when that one comes, he'll declare all things to us." And Jesus told her, "I am he." And then the disciples come up with their perfect timing. "Why are you talking to this woman? What are you doing? Why are you associating with that person?" And the woman just left her pot and went back to the, dropped it, went back to her town and said, "This is the Christ." Those 12 had been with him and seen him raise people from the dead, seen him heal, seen him multiply. Most of them did not know. This woman, he talked to her and she knew who he was. And this woman needed salvation and she needed restoration. Jesus came there for both. And he still wants to. And his disciples were telling him, after the woman left, "You need to eat some. We brought some food back." And he said, "I have food you do not know about." And they were looking around, did somebody bring him something? Nope. My food, my energy, it comes from the Father and the Father's work. And he started telling his disciples about those who reap and receiving wages and how people sow and they reap. What he was talking about, those that sow, the prophets that came before him. John the Baptist right now. Himself. The teachers of the law that actually still kept the law and not just their own point of view of it. Those were the ones that sowed. And he was wanting them to reap the believers. And our little woman is not finished. She went back to that city in Samaria, which they worshiped other gods. She could have been stoned, killed, just for opening her mouth, because she was not anything in their sight. And she went and told the men of that village, of that town, "He told me all these things I have done." Then the Samaritans went and saw Jesus. And more of them came to Christ. This woman earlier that day was an outcast. She was hopeless. Her life was going to end in obscurity. She was never going to have any type of happiness at all. Then out of nowhere, Jesus came to her. He saw her despair. He felt her suffering. This woman was in a black, black room. And she saw a tiny light. Whereas some of us run from the light, she grabbed it. And that light is Jesus Christ. It is. I think we've all been that woman at the well, and where hope's gone, faith's gone, or it's been my experience. They're interconnected. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." You have to have one to have the other. And 2,000 years later, Jesus is still wanting to come to a well for us. He's still wanting to help us out of our despair. He's still wanting to help us with hope. He knows our past like he knew this woman's. When I was first asked about ministry, I told him, you know, I got a track record. Oh, goodness. Everybody in that Bible does. Everybody written in there does. Liars, cheaters, murderers, adulterers. thieves. Thief hung on the cross. He repented, and he spent that evening with our Savior. This week, there's been so much hope drained from people in this church, people around us, with loss of loved ones, with seeing our loved ones just whittle away from what they were, injuries, and it gets us down, and we feel like there is no resolution for it. When you get down and you get attacked, by that enemy, you dig your heels in and you just keep praying harder and you keep reading that word and you keep telling Jesus, I need you more than ever. And that hope will come. And hope comes, the faith comes. Things may not get resolved in a day, a week, a month. It may not be a happy ending, but Christ is with us. As long as we're with Him, He's with us. He wants to restore us and use us, just like He did for this woman. In a period of a day, this woman went from an outcast to an evangelist. She used her life experiences, every scar, every mistake, to help bring others to Christ. And I don't mean by sitting up here and saying a lot of hot air, but it may be just somebody seeing your example. It may be asking somebody to go fish. It may be asking somebody to eat lunch with you. God uses us and wants to use us in all kinds of ways. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me, please. And we're getting ready to start our songs. And the altar is going to be open. And if it's laid on your heart, Lord, I'm that woman at the well. My hope's gone. It's almost gone. I need you. Please, open up to Him. If there's something going on in your life that you're angry about with God, talk to Him. That's one of the first ways of healing, is to let Him know, Lord, I'm angry. I'm angry at you. Help me through this. Whatever your problem is, whatever is sapping your hope, there is help for it. And it starts with being on your knees and your hands in front of you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, there are so many women at the well in this world. The enemy in this sinful world, it saps our hope. Tragedies that are beyond our control destroy the hope that we have. It's such a fragile thing. Father, please help restore us. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to you. Help restore us, that you may use us to help restore others. Father, you know the battles that everyone in this congregation is fighting, all these visitors, everyone. You know what the people in your house are fighting, whether they're here or not. And Father, we ask that you put a hand in every situation, Father, to restore hope and restore faith. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.